his little book. And here's another one. He uses a farming illustration. He says, look how the farmer waits for the early rains and the late rains. Now, in that part of the world, in Judah and Israel, the early rains come and soften the earth in the springtime and provide moisture in the soil so that seeds will sprout. But then they always wait for the late rains, and that's when you really depend on that, because when the late rain comes, that's what waters the crop to produce a harvest. Now, this was dry farming, no irrigation. By the way, I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley, which was, you know, irrigated farmland, much as the farmland that we have around here. It depends on the reservoirs and the water flowing down the ditches. I was amazed when I first learned that there's people who actually farm depending on the rain. What kind of craziness is that? The farmer is totally dependent on the Lord providing these rains. So the farmer plants the seed. He does his part. And trusting that the Lord will fulfill the promise of the rain in the right time, in the right amount, in the right place. So just as the farmer has to wait in total dependence on the Lord, we also are to wait patiently with a fixed heart. And here comes the second imperative. Remember that James says, establish your hearts. Well, now, what does that mean? We're to fix our hearts on the goal. He uses here, James uses the same Greek verb, esteirosin. It's the same verb that Luke used in his gospel when he says that there came a point in the ministry of Jesus when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem on the cross. Remember that? It's in all the Gospels, but Luke really underlines it. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And nothing from that moment on would distract him from that goal. Same word James uses to command us. We're to set our hearts on the coming of the Lord. And that's what's going to strengthen us for the long haul. We have to set our hearts because, you know, in all of the history of God's work in among human beings, nobody ever drifted into holiness. Nobody ever walked along and fell in a hole and became holy. Now, you can drift into sin, and people do all the time. Another illustration, if you've ever attempted any gardening, you know that it takes absolutely no effort to grow weeds. It doesn't even take water. They'll grow from a crack in the sidewalk. You ever seen a tomato grow out of a crack in the sidewalk? No. Plants have to be watered and fertilized and tended, protected from insects and disease. But weeds, all you have to do is nothing, and you'll get weeds. Now, this is why we need to make a decision. James says, establish your heart, fix your heart. It implies a decision on our part. Now, God is faithful, and the Holy Spirit will work in us. But to change the metaphor here, once again, the Holy Spirit is like a personal trainer. And if I hire a personal trainer, I still need to show up at the gym and do the work. And the Holy Spirit is faithful and will work in your life to work holiness and to bring victory over sin in your life. But you have to show up at the gym and do the work. We don't drift into holiness. We have to set our hearts. Christ-like character must be cultivated in personal devotion, in accountability to other believers. Now, it's sometimes startling to modern ears, but the New Testament often describes the Christian life as a fight, a battle. Paul will speak of fighting for the faith. The book of Jude says, contend for the faith. And it's an appropriate metaphor. We're in a fight against the world and the flesh and the devil. We're going to have to cut right to the chase here because we got to be out of here. We promised them we'd be out of here at 11:15 this morning. So we're going to have to move. There's a wonderful hymn, and I want you to open it up right now. Find the hymn. You don't need to project it. We've got it on the insert. Look at the last hymn. It's called For All the Saints. And it's about this battle that I've been talking about and looking forward to the end. This was written, For All the Saints was written in 1864 by an Englishman named William Howe. But this hymn really didn't take off and soar until 1906 when a musician named Ralph Vaughan Williams wrote the wonderful tune that we now use when we sing it. I want to go over some of these words for you. Look at verse 1. For all the saints who from their labors rest. It's talking about believers in Christ who are now with the Lord. Who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Their hearts were fixed on Jesus. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou, in the darkness drear, their one true light. Now skip down to verse 4. And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then verse 5, and I'm going to close with this. But then there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the point. That's the day we're waiting for. And I'll tell you, in all honesty, there are days when I get very discouraged. There are days when I wonder, is it all worth it? And that's when God's word would charge me, look forward. Yet there breaks a still more glorious day. One day you and I are going to stand with the saints and we're going to watch the King of glory passing on his way. And we're going to look at one another and we're going to say, this is why we did it. This is why we endured. This is why we worked and we sacrificed and we shared the gospel toward this day. And all glory to him. We're going to skip right over the Apostles' Creed because we need to close this service. But let's stand and sing for all the saints.